All right, we're going to come around the Word of God right now. I've got a lot of scripture for you this morning. If you can keep up with me, well and good. If you can't, then listen to the tape. We're just going to open in prayer. Lord God, we just thank you for your mercy and your grace. We thank you, Lord, that you care for us, Lord, so greatly, Lord. And Lord, you've given us your Word as a pattern for the things which should be, Lord God. So help us, Lord, to live in accordance with your Word, both as a church and and Lord, as individuals, that we might bring glory to your name. Amen. I've got another message. It's based around the difficulties we face in the day and age in which we live. We know we looked at living, serving God in a hostile world, and this is a second area of dealing with it in a hostile world in the church. Because the church isn't always pleasant to those who believe, let me tell you. And we need to understand what it is that is necessary. And some of it's to do with structure. Structure denotes, actually, the function. Structure denotes what's going to happen. So it's important we know how the church should operate. So this week, I'm going to look at in the church, and that is leadership. Okay, now, this is going to be a difficult one to do in the sense, like the last one about when we looked at giving, is a balance. And many times one church will imbalance this way, another church will imbalance the other way. And but we need to be right there in the center of what God wants for us, don't we? And so let's try and look at this in a scriptural way, because that's the only way to do it. So let's take a look at this. Matthew 4:19, we're going to start with the Lord himself, which is a good place to start, wouldn't you say? And this is just one of many scriptures. You could follow about 20 through if you follow all the Gospels, but I'm just going to give you one because you can do this for yourself. This is Matthew 4:19. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And you'll find that that is the pattern that Jesus said to each one of the disciples. He said, you know what? Follow me. And there is something about that principle of following after Christ that is still necessary today for each and every one of us if we're going to be a disciple. Indeed, here comes my first principle. There's going to be a few principles as we go through. Taking up the cross principle. Mark 8:34, when he had called the people to himself with his disciples also, he said to them, "Whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." It also says in Matthew 10:38, "And he who does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me." So there's a principle of taking up the cross. In other words, self-denial. In other words, that Christ is preeminent in our lives as disciples after him. That whilst there are many things in life that are legitimate, that are fair for us to do, if there's choices between one or following Christ, Christ has the preeminence. Are we right? Because that's not always true in many people's lives. They choose to put career or money or fame or whatever in front of Christ. Christ is somehow a tag-on to their life. But it's the wrong way around. It's got to be us following him. Now, that's a principle in leadership about following. Following on from that is another principle of the sheep hearing his voice. Okay, John 10:5. "Yet they will be by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." John 10:27. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." That's interesting. This hearing the voice. The sheep actually know the voice of the master. This is important. You look around in many churches and in many things, and when you look at the cults where people have gone off track, you think, how did they get there? Do you not? You never wonder that. You see, what people you once thought they were serving God and they were right on and you were looking up to them even, and then all of a sudden they're involved in something wacky. Yeah, you see it. You will see it if you haven't seen it yet. And there they go. You think, what's happened? Well, what it is they've either stopped listening or have never heard the voice of the shepherd. The shepherd will keep you out of the wackiness. He will. He'll prompt you by the Holy Spirit, say, there's something wrong here. There's something not quite right here. There's something you need to look out for here. You need to be wary. You need to put your guard up here. And God does that for us. That's the beauty of being saved and having the Holy Spirit, isn't it? That we got that advantage. And yet, if we hear his voice, he says, he's saying there that they will hear my voice. They won't follow a stranger. So if they've gone off following something strange, there's something wrong with the hearing. Okay. It's important you learn to hear the voice of the Master. John 8:12. Then Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. So, following after the Lord, you have to hear him, you understand him, you follow him, and you will have the light of life. You'll know what you're doing, you know where you're going, you have direction. It's very important these days. A lot of people have no direction, have no idea what life is about. They follow after all sorts of nonsenses, but yet Jesus is telling us a profound truth. He who will follow him will not walk in darkness. If you're in darkness, you haven't a clue, have you? You ever been to Matlock in the Peak District? Have you been down the caves? Well, there's a particular one of the trips down there. They go and you go through, and it's the Blue John Cave, and it's all great and it's wonderful. And those are interested in geology, it's even better. And then all of a sudden, the guy says, if you've never seen darkness, watch this. And he turns the lights out, and it is absolutely pitch black. The only thing you can see is the illumination on your watch if you're lucky. That's it. It's just absolute pitch black. Can you imagine if they said, right, now you've got to get your way out of the cave? You'd have a major problem on your hands, wouldn't you? Because you can't see where you're going. And people stumble around in life like that. But you and I, who are saved, do not have that problem. Well, we shouldn't, should we? Because we've got the light of life, and within that, we've got the word of God to show us and direct us along our path, haven't we? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. Again, it's light again. All right, so here's another principle for you. Throwing them out at you right and left here this morning. Keeping to the word of God. If you've got to have a leadership, so we've established the fact that our preeminent following is after Christ. That we hear his voice. That is prime. That's where I started there, because that's where we all start, and that's where we should all continue. All right. So we've got that. Now we're looking at keeping to the word of God. This is another principle we need. 2 Timothy 3:10. But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, and perseverance. So he's talking here, there's a number of things actually to follow, and we'll look at following men shortly. But he's saying here, you've carefully followed my doctrine. There's something important that we keep to the word of God, that we don't stray from the path, that we don't add bits on, that we don't take things away. There's great warnings in Revelation about doing those things. But nevertheless, we need to be focused. So if you're going to do that, well, straightforwardly, you need to know your word. Don't you? You need to be in your word and understand it. And when you hear someone like me get up and preach and speak stuff, and they quote a scripture, and something says, well, I'm not quite sure about that, you need to go back and check it out. And check it out with the rest of this. This is good planning. You're intelligent. We've got one of the most intelligent churches in the town. We have. We've got people there with degrees coming out of their ears. Not to put anyone down who hasn't gone, because that's not the only important thing. But intelligence is applying knowledge, isn't it? Well, apply the knowledge you've got from the word of God, and you'll be stood in good stead. 1 Timothy 4:6. If you instruct the brethren in these things, you will be a good minister of Christ Jesus, nourishing in the words of faith of good doctrine, which you have carefully followed. Now, there's a couple of things in there for Timothy. Timothy was a young pastor. He was getting instruction from Paul. And he's saying, look, you teach them the word. You teach that. And he said, firstly, you've carefully followed. I know he says it last in the verse. He carefully followed, so he understood what it was about. There's something important about doing it first before you teach it. That's what a good leader will do. That's what a good teacher will do. They will understand it first and experience it first, Then you can teach others. There's nothing worse than trying to teach from a textbook as you go along. It's not really possible. It's not very functional. But he says, carefully follow, where is it? Instruct the brethren in these things. He said, this is what to teach. Teach them what you know from the word. You've learned this, you've done this, now it needs to be taught. So I'm a little nervous about students that come out of Bible colleges and going straight into taking over a church wherever and leading that church. And oft times, well, the Bible colleges themselves, is we know more than a function of higher education. Just because you got the certificate from whatever college it might be is not an authentication of your qualities as a man of God, is it? It's just a piece of paper like the other bits of paper you've got. Yeah? But it's about, and it's about, if you've just come out of school and you're going straight to that, what life experience you got? What have you got to give others? Because that's what it's about. It's giving to others, isn't it? Ministering, sharing, understanding. Sometimes it's good that people have learned to fail. I failed lots. Yeah? Well, what's so good about that? That's not exactly what you put on your on your CV, is it? I've failed lots. Oh, great, give him the job then. No, but the point is what do you do with failure? You know how to get up and to do again and succeed after that, yeah? That's the point. Is I wouldn't like to have a minister, a pastor who'd always got everything right, who never made a mistake, never made an error. How will you understand what you're going through? The things and the struggles that we do. Bit of a problem. Okay, so we're looking at here, following what the doctrine of has been handed down, they follow after that. 2 Peter 1:16. For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. They're saying, we made this stuff up. This isn't stuff that we just, oh yeah, we just write a story, you know, and Jesus did that and Jesus did the other. No, this is what they saw. This is what was written. You'll not find the New Testament leaders getting involved in how people should live. They don't start saying, this is an aside actually, you don't see them start saying, you shouldn't buy this newspaper. You've got your own conscience on that one, haven't you? Yeah? You shouldn't belong to this political party. That's your decision, isn't it? It's not the right of some bloke at the front to tell you this stuff. Oh, don't marry this person, marry that person. Well, there might be some truth in that sometimes, but that's your decision. That's your decision. That's not something that somebody outside can say, this is what you do. No, you should marry that one. That happens in churches. Scary. But it goes to directing the actual minutiae of people's lives. The technical term that has been banned is heavy shepherding. You heard of it? Where the people who lead are telling, that want it to control the very details of your life. Now, I'm not interested in the details of your life. What a monkey. Fancy behaviour. No, that's your business. I'm interested in how you serve God. I'm interested in how your life reflects what the Word of God has to say and you putting that into practice. That's my business, isn't it? And to care for you. And if you've got a problem, to help you and guiding you, not through what I think or what I, but from what the Word of God says. I remember the first church that Rhoda and I were involved in leadership, and I was involved in leadership with Rhoda, was my wife, let's put it that way, it's more about this later. One of the girls in the church, she asked Rhoda for some advice and didn't want to speak to me because I'm a bloke. And then, well, it's obvious, isn't it? It's these things, sometimes it's easier for a woman to speak to a woman than a man to a man. Sometimes that's just how it is. Anyway, and Rhoda just gave a direction from the scriptures. And at the end of it, she says, that's the trouble with you. You always give your answers from the Bible. Well, what do you want? Get the Quran out. You know, Bhagita, do anything, you know, of my great wisdom. No, you don't need that. You need what God has to say, don't you? Surely that's what we need. We need to follow after the word of God. We've no business going beyond that. We've got no business telling you what to do and how to do it and when to do it and why to do it. No, that's up to you. Now, I'll put a proviso on that, a little box around it. If you claim to be a Christian, and you are involved in sin and we can see and it can be seen, then I am bound to make comment. Yeah, that's script. But how can I know that's okay? Because scripture tells you that's what it is. Yeah? So that's where the parameter comes. That's where, if it's involved in scripture, scripture says this is permissible, that's it. Okay? If you claim to not be a Christian and you're involved in sin, guess what? I'm not surprised. Because you're not a Christian. It's bad to be that. Sinners are going to do what sinners do. And it's not for me to say, oh, you're a terrible sinner. No, it's me to say, it's where the church is going wrong. That's where my point of authority comes, isn't it? Okay, I'm just drawing things out you probably know, but sometimes they need to be said. You have your own conscience. You have your own direction. You, as I come to the final scripture I'm going to use, is work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Throw it in for now. Okay. Let's look at the types of leadership. I've got enough to watch the time on this, so I may have to split this. Let's see how it goes. All right, there's types of leaderships in different churches. You'll have come across them. There are like the Quakers. You come across the Quakers? No? They have no leaders. You go into a Quaker meeting, and someone will get up and say something, and they'll sit down, it'll go quiet for a while, and somebody will get up, stand up and say something, and they get down and... And it's essentially that what it said is as the Spirit leads, which is fair enough in that respect. But where's the leadership? There needs to be leading in any church. There's another area, which is probably the mistake that most churches fall into. That is, they have one leader. Where'd you get that in Scripture? I'll open up the forum. Where'd you find that in Scripture? If you can show me, I'll shut up. I'm happy to say you can't do it. This fits most churches. Commonly, the pastor. As if that's the only ministry. Or the vicar. Or the minister. Or the priest. And that's at the church individual level. And over and above that, you'll get somebody else who's the one-man band, like the Pope. Or the Archbishop. He's the head honcho, you do as you're told, or at least why is it supposed to be the Catholic Church? So that's not scriptural. So what do we find in Scripture? We find I can hardly ever say this word, plurality of leadership in a local church, don't we? Don't we? Well, we do, we should. What am I talking about? I'm talking about elders and deacons. Why do I use those titles? That's because they're scriptural. Now you can break the eldership down into a variety of ministries, which I will do in from a scripture in a moment. But nevertheless, all these other ones that are there, which we'll come to in a second, they're all part of the eldership, the rulership of the church. Okay? And whilst the elders are supposedly more involved with the spiritual side of things, the deacons more with the practical, and you need both. Where would you be about the practical side of people in a church? How'd it work? Nobody could do anything. Nobody could open a door. Nobody could fix anything. Nothing practical or all spiritual. It'd be a mess. It's both are necessary, aren't they? And it's not that one is better than another. It's just different functions, isn't it? Because even both, if you look into I think it's 1 Timothy, and certainly in Titus, it talks about the qualification for elders and deacons, doesn't it? And they're very spiritual qualifications for both. So if you're doing the practical, the spiritual qualifications. Why? It doesn't take much spirituality to do, you know. Because it's the church. There's a quality that needs to be there. Let's look at 1 Peter 5. It says this, "The elders who are among you I exhort, I am a fellow elder." So it's this Peter. First Peter. What was Peter? Peter was an apostle, wasn't he? But he's calling himself a fellow elder. He's not bragging up his title. He's understanding something which lots of people fail to understand today, that even the apostleship comes into the eldership of the church. Doesn't it? Or does it? Have a look to see how it works. Look how churches work. Open your eyes. See what's going on. Because if you start, if there's something not scriptural, it'll come back to hit you. It will. One day, it might not be now, it might not be 10 years' time, but one day it's going to come and hit you big time. Okay, I exhort you as a fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. He's telling him, shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers. Now he goes into how that service should be done. All right? There's contrasting ones out there, but this is how the scriptures are. Serving as an overseer. Not by compulsion. Oh, I better do it because I've got to do it. Oh, I feel guilty if I don't do it. Yeah? A lot of people like that. But willingly. A volunteer spirit. Not for dishonest gain, but eagerly. Not doing it because you can get a bit of cash out of it. Yeah? Oh, I'll go and preach around this church. Preach in that church and I'll get some money. And it's amazing how many people who would never function in any other job in the world are functioning as so-called pastors in places and making good money out of rubbish ministry. I'm telling the truth. Might not be popular, but there it goes. Then he goes on. Nor being as lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. You seeing this? Head honcho pastors. It tends to be pastors. Oh, the pastor's this and the pastor that. Oh, we got to look at him. Oh, make sure he's got his coffee made when he comes in. This, treat him like a king. Where's mine? What am I doing wrong? You know, it's not being lords over them. Not some sort of, you tell them this and you give out your orders and this and that. And oh, isn't it wonderful? Have you not seen these in churches, haven't you? Worry when you do. But being examples to the flock. What'd it be like if everybody was like that? It'd be awful, wouldn't it? The church would be a dreadful place. Oh, look after me, do as I say. No, look after me and do as I say. What a big hash it would be. Okay, look after the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, which is of course the Lord, you will receive the crown of glory which does not fade away. Likewise, you younger people, now listen to this. This is very unpopular. Submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Now, let's get the balance there, because if I just left it at one bit about you younger people being submissive, it doesn't sound right, does it? The worry. Submit! This has been one of the big banes of bad leadership throughout the years. Or if you dare to raise an issue or a question, oh, what's the scripture you use this morning? Does it mean this or that? How dare you? You submit! You know, this sort of crazy mentality that somehow that there's all these rebels and you've got to whack them on the head, like whack-a-mole, as soon as it arises up, so you haven't got the... And it's all the congregation scared to death of asking a question. That's crazy! No, he says, what does he say? Let's read what he says. He says, you younger people be submissive to your elders. Oh, great. That sounds, and a lot of people would leave it there deliberately. Oh, we've got to submit to the elders. But then he goes on to say, yes, all of you be submissive one to another. Do you see? It's not talking about a whack you down. It's talking about an attitude, one of, you know what, I don't know everything. Yeah? One of, you've got something to say. There's value in each one of us. Yeah? We've all got something to minister. This is what 1 Corinthians around about 12, 13, it talks about the whole issue of the body of Christ. of the various ministries within it, the various functions of a body, and relates that to the church, saying, you know what, we need each other. The bit you do is just as important as the bit this one does. Yeah? This is not about bragging up somebody at the front's ego. It's about the whole functioning of the body, which we are the body of Christ. I know which I prefer. I'm sure you would as well. You know, you don't want to be straight submissive to me, that's for sure. It's a job, ministry is a job to be done. Okay, let's get in. Proverbs 11:14, it says, where there is no guidance, a people falls, but in abundance of counsellors there is safety. So it's not about the one-man band thing which we've been talking about. It's about the number of eldership around that joint meeting is there. Keith and I get together every first Friday of the month when the ladies are all meeting, having their meeting. We get together, and yes, all right, we do eat. But that's not the primary function of it, as you can tell. But the primary function is to chat over some of the issues that might be there and raise concerns and issues. We just talk through it all. Yeah, that's what it's about. Okay, so there's a need for that. And as the church gets bigger, the more elders you need. Yeah? Because the needs get bigger, don't they? Okay. Moving on, as we do for time. I better be careful. How much more have I got to do? Oh, blimey. I think I'm going to have to cut this somewhere. All right, let's just deal with this one next issue. Two issues. It's a very short one. Leadership is male. Very popular these days, this one. Okay. 1 Timothy 2:12. And do not put a woman to teach or have authority over a man, but to be in silence. Now, the silence bit's got some connotations about cultural issues and the way that church is run. In other words, you don't shout out to each other across the church. Right? Got that? But it says, lead. You will find throughout Old Testament, New Testament, the basic pattern that you find in 99% of the issues, that the leaders were men. Are the men better? You women will say, clearly not. Absolutely not. It's not a matter of doing a job better, or just that gender is better. No, we're getting some trouble with this woke stuff now with this, aren't we? But it's not a matter of, it's about what God has chosen to function as. That's all. That's nothing better. And a woman's got a better functioning in other areas. Yeah, it's just a matter of denotation of where the functions lie. And God has chosen it this way. Don't ask me why. And to the frustration of many women, I'm sure they'll say, yeah, I don't know why either. But this is what it says, and you'll find right from the word go, it's been all the way through in Israel. It was male leadership, it was Moses, it was Joshua. We see the prophets. Who do we see? They're all, are they? Not many. And you'll find a couple of women appearing on occasions where men have failed to do what they're meant to have done. You will. However, the principle is that it should be male, and that goes on into the New Testament. Now, you say, I do not, he says, I do not permit a woman to teach or have authority over a man. Oh, well, lots of women are in ministry these days, aren't they? But they're in the wrong ones many times. They're taking a pastoral role, being the pastor or the vicar. Women vicars, big thing in the Church of England for a number of years. Yeah, you remember that? They had a vote each year, and it must have been for 10 years. No, 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 no. They didn't give up, but no, did they? No, we'll keep on until we've got a yes. They don't have a vote on it anymore. Why is that? Because you've got our own way. Not what scripture, what does it say? We'll just do what's popular. We'll do what fits in with the common vernacular, yeah? That's what's there. Okay, so it's meant to be male. So if you've got, the lady pastor in our church, she's great. She teaches better than you do. I don't care. Well, I do, but it's not the point. The point is, what's the principle? Yeah? The principle is that leadership is male. And if you've got that going on, then you're going to get more problems. Why? Because it's not according to the word of God. Okay, that was a very quick one, easy one. Last one I'm going to do today. So this has got, I've got so much here, it's going to go on. So this bit's called Follow My Leader. All right. 1 Thessalonians 1:6. and you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy and of the Holy Spirit. So what we're looking at here is we've got the principle following Christ, haven't we? But then we've gotten them saying, the apostles, the teachers, the pastors are saying, follow me. This sounds dangerous ground, doesn't it, to you? Doesn't this sound dodge, follow me? I used to look at it and think, you want my people to follow me? You know, that's I'm responsible. I know I messed stuff up. I don't want people following me. We'll come to the full principle later on. Okay, 2 Thessalonians 3:7. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow us. For we were not disorderly among you. So he puts a proviso on that. He's saying, you know, we acted properly. Follow what we did. 2 Thessalonians 3:9. Not because we do not have authority, but to make ourselves an example of how you should follow us. In other words, we're doing it right. We're following scripture. Here it is. There's nothing like having a demonstration of how to do it, is there? Lots of theories, lots of nice examples of stuff in theory, but what I like is to be able to see somebody do it. Now, I find the worst thing ever to try and learn with somebody telling me how to do it is IT. Yeah? Computers, program stuff. Oh, yeah, you do this. And then you just go, no, you know how to do it. I don't know how to do it. If you're going to just go, I used to have a teacher like that. She says, oh, yes, this is how you do it. And she'd be great with the kids. But with you, she thought, well, you should know it. You're teaching me. You're meant to be teaching as well. I'm still numpty level at this. You need to treat me as such and do it at that speed. You go, you can't just, you know, it isn't just words. You've got to see it demonstrated. But that's not enough, is it? You then have to do it. This is called discipleship in the church. You hear how it's done, you see how it's done, then you do it. You see, it's not about having someone perfect up the front here. This is what we want to encourage in the church, is to have others to minister also. Not that they are better, but sometimes they are, James. Music and such like. It's that they're learning a process of how to do it, how to lead, how to preach, how to be involved, how to do all those things. The way you've seen it, now you've got to do it. It's very different sitting there than standing here, I can tell you. Yeah, it's very, very different kettle of fish. But it's that process. And what, just because if you heard my first sermon, heaven help you. But it's a process, isn't it? And people having that grace with you. You need a lot of grace where I'm about. Okay, let's move on with this. Philippians 3:17. Brethren, join in following my example and note those who walk as you have us as a pattern. There's a pattern. He's calling it a pattern. This is what to follow. Ooh. Remember those, Hebrews 13:7, remember those who rule over you, for they have spoken the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. Just look at their life, look at the difference. 1 Timothy 4:6, if you instruct the brethren in these things, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished in the words of faith and of the good doctrine which you have carefully followed. It's a process of following. That one actually gone with the doctrine ones, never mind. 1 Corinthians 1:12. What I mean is this. One of you says, I follow Paul. Another says, I follow Apollos. Another says, I follow Cephas. Still another, I follow Christ. And he keeps this argument going. 1 Corinthians 3:4. For one says, I follow Paul. And another, I follow Apollos. Are we not these mere human beings? 1 Corinthians 4:6. Now, brothers and sisters, I have applied these things to myself and Apollos for your benefit, so that you may learn from us the meaning of the saying, do not go beyond that which is written. Then you will not be puffed up in being a follower, one of us over against the other. Follow the word. It's not about, oh, such a body is a great preacher, such a body is a great this, I'm going to follow after that. No, you get the word from wherever it comes that's right. Yeah? because there's a multiplicity of ministries out there, which will come probably next time I speak, because it's not got enough time this morning. I'm going to finish with one principle on this following a man, though, because it's very, very important. The 1 Corinthians 11:1 principle. And you all know that, don't you? Just quickly. I got it in several versions, but it all comes down to the same thing. King James says, be followers of me. Doesn't stop there, though, does it? Even as I also am of Christ. Another version, the ASV, be imitators of me, even I also am of Christ. The CEV, you must follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. The Derby rendition, be my imitators, even as I also am of Christ. And the King James, be followers of me, even I as also I am of Christ. That's the issue. You don't follow me in everything I do. Just because I like curry doesn't mean you got to like curry. All right? You might hate it. Don't worry about it. And it's not about imitating my bad spots either. Don't, please. Keep well away from what you see are not good traits. Then, but it says, be imitators of me as I am of Christ. The things that you see that Christ has said and you can see in me, follow them. Do you get it? That's so important, because so many would be out there in false teaching, false leadership, even in Pentecostal good churches in many other respects. It's a, oh, you follow me. Please don't follow a man. Follow Christ. Follow Christ. That's where we started. Remember, perhaps this is a good place where we do need to cut off. Follow Christ. All right, there is a part and parcel place to see the exampleship of eldership and see that, and that they follow after the scriptures, and you have that demonstrated to you. That's good. But you follow them only as they follow Christ. Amen. Amen. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Yes. Amen. We'll leave that there. We'll come back to it again.